There is a very interesting sugya in the parsha in Vayigash. So Pasuk tells us in Perek Memvav, Pasuk Kaptes, that Yosef and Yaakov finally meet after a long time when they were separated. In the Torah, when it says they met, it says Vayevk al tzavarav od, and it sounds in Lashon Yachid that only one of them was really there, crying in that interaction between Yaakov and Yosef. There is a bit of a machlokas among mefarshim about who exactly was crying and what exactly was going on. I want to focus on one very famous medrash that Rashi quotes and try to develop two very different ideas that emerge from it. A lot of the Torah we're going to share tonight is pretty well known. Hopefully a twist or two is not as well known. The Torah tells that Rashi quotes here the medrash that Dafka Yosef was crying when he met Yaakov, and Yaakov was not crying at all. Why was Yaakov not crying at all? So Rashi tells us in the name of Chazal that Yaakov was there, he was saying Kriyashma. Yaakov was there saying Kriyashma. Many of the Mefarshim are very much bothered by that. It is an odd time to be saying Kriyashma. The Zman of Kriyashma is not a, you know, 5-second time when you meet your son for the first time in 20-something years. So presumably there could have been a better time to have said it. So why exactly, what's going on that Yaakov is Dafka saying Kriyashma at that time? We're going to share two Mahalchim, one's a Maharal and one's a Sfas Emes, and we're going to try to develop both of them, hopefully in a way which is important. The Maharal is very, very well known. Maharal says it is the way of tzaddikim, it's the way of chassidim, that when they are at a moment of intense spiritual ahava, intense spiritual simcha, that they want to channel that simcha and use it towards Ribono Shel Olam. Says the Maharal, it was not zman kriya shema, it was not necessary to say kriya shema then on any sort of formal chiyuv. What was it? It was an attempt by Yaakov to sanctify the moment. Yaakov was in love with Yosef, and because he felt that kind of ahava and that kind of simcha, he wanted to channel that, to use that towards Ribono Shel Olam. That is a pshat that many of the Hasidim are very, very fond of. It's one that Rav Huttner explains in Pacha Yitzchak. Rav Harman points this out, that part of the reason why there's a certain kind of joy is that often when one is going through a time period of enormous struggle, enormous sadness, it's dafka as a result of that, when a Yeshua, when a salvation comes, that you're all the more happy. And therefore, Yaakov specifically was so happy, Yaakov thought Yosef was dead. Yosef knew that Yaakov was alive. Yaakov thought that Yosef was dead, and it was a very, very challenging time period. And the fact that he was able to go through that and to emerge and finally to meet his son, it caused an enormous, enormous amount of simcha. The Stipler points out in Birchas Peretz, the Sefer HaTorah, that this is actually the opposite of a halacha that many of us are familiar with. A chasan on the night of his marriage is pater mi kriyashma. Why is a chasan pater from kriyashma? Well, he's so focused on his wife that he's not going to be able to say kriyashma that night. Says the Stipler, it's really a difference in people, each at their own level. For most people, when they have those kinds of very exciting moments in life, when they have those time periods where they really feel that enormous simcha, it's hard for them to be able to channel that effectively. What the Maharal is suggesting is that there are certain unique and special individuals who are at such a madrega that they're able to elevate, they're able to uplift that feeling of love and to channel it towards the Ribono Shel Olam. It happens to be that they quote the sefer called Torah Chaim, which is Torah of Reb Chaim Brisker on Chumash. So here they quote that one time one of the Bali Musar came to Reb Chaim and told him this pshat. They quote from Maral, and they said, you know why Yaakov did it? Because Yaakov wanted to be closer to Hashem, and this was a way to inspire Yaakov to be even closer. And Reb Chaim did not like that pshat at all. Reb Chaim said there's no way that Yaakov needed any help to get closer and to fall more in love with Hashem. But l'chorah, the pshat in the Maral is that what's really going on is that tzaddikim, whenever they have a certain kind of strong emotional experience, they always want to try to uplift it and channel it. It wasn't that Yaakov needed this, that it was necessary for Yaakov in order to get close to Hashem. It was that he wanted to take advantage of the opportunity, and he wanted to be able to, as a result, find a way of channeling that and having that ahava be an ahava that led him to be closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. That's the approach of the Maharal. Yaakov is saying Kriya Shema because Yaakov was so happy at that moment. He was so inspired, he wanted to learn how to channel that. Love of children, in that sense, for the Maharal, is a love which very, very easily, in sort of a smooth way, can easily be channeled towards an ahava of the Ribono Shel Olam. The Sfas Emes has a different idea. It is one that is, in many ways, the opposite of the Maharal. He first quotes the Maharal, and he praises the words of the Maharal. He himself offers a different suggestion, one that is the father's here, a little bit different than the one that the Maharal just suggested.
The Sfas Emes points out, the Maharal just, the Sfas Emes points out that Yaakov was actually scared of something. What Yaakov was scared of was that he was nervous that his Ava of his son would detract and cause him to forget about Hashem. And because he was scared that his Ava of his son was going to be so intense that he'd forget about Hashem, he said, at that moment, I need to sort of stop focusing on my son and instead to focus on the Ribono Shel Olam. A very, very different idea. One that sees love of children as a certain, creating a certain tension and a certain contradiction, and in a certain sense minimizing one's ability to really love, the Ribono Shel Olam. I saw just about 20 minutes ago that they have a Haggadah that was put out with Torah from Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler asked a very strong question on the Sfas Emes. Pointed at Rav Dessler, really, Yaakov is the figure who thought that loving his kid would somehow detract from his ability to love Hashem? Yaakov is probably the figure in Sefer, in Chumash, most associated with loving his son. Yaakov loves Yosef. The Torah tells us he loves Yosef. The Torah tells me that he gives Yosef special gifts, the Ketonos Pasim. Yaakov really loves Yosef a lot, and it's hard to imagine there was some radical shift over all the years that they were separated. What exactly is going on in this Sfas Emes? How is it possible that Yaakov could have perceived a love of Yosef as somehow detracting from his love of Hashem? Rav Dessler therefore suggests a very, I think, beautiful idea and a very powerful one. Says Rav Dessler, there's a difference in Yaakov's interactions with Yosef when he was in Eretz Yisrael and when he was in Chutz La'aretz. When he was in Eretz Yisrael, he felt it was a place of such Kedusha that all loves, all kinds of Ahava, it would be very easy to channel all of that towards Ribono Shel Olam. It was so easy and so clear that in Eretz Yisrael, whatever I experienced, Kegnet Hashem, that's very, very simple. To love Yosef and love Hashem, so easy and so simple. The challenge was that Yaakov was about to enter Mitzrayim, and Yaakov was very scared to enter Mitzrayim. Torah tells us in Parsha, Yaakov was very, very scared. Akadikach, Hashem has to reassure Yaakov, don't worry, it's all going to be okay. Yaakov suggests Rav Dessler was mekabel upon himself to try to remove all other kinds of hana'ah from this world. That part of the way that Yaakov thought he was going to be able to be successful in Mitzrayim was by sort of removing himself a little bit from some of that love, arguing in a certain sense that the ava that he was going to experience would be detrimental in a place like Mitzrayim, where he wanted to be almost totally and entirely removed from this world. I one time gave a shiur not so long ago about the Maharal, where I noted a pshat that was not so that created distance between parents and children, and I got a phone call from my mother asking that I never do that. So I will just try my best to chazer and maybe add a nekuda as an act of tshuva. Rashi tells us from Chazal that Dafka Yaakov was saying Kriyashman, only Yosef was really crying. Why was that so? For the Maharal, it's because love of children, Yaakov wanted to channel that. Many Hasidim are fond of that idea in general. When a person experiences a moment of joy, it's always nice to be able to channel that a little bit. Probably the best example, or an example of that, if it's done in a real way, is when like an athlete wins a big game and right away he channels that. I just wanted to thank God, you know, for being there for me. How authentic, I don't know, and let's assume it's very authentic because it's always more pleasant to view things that way. So that is an example of a Maharal kind of an idea. When a person has moments of joy and moments of simcha, to learn how to channel that effectively. On the other hand, Sfas Emes points out that sometimes love of certain things, he's arguing this too even about children, sometimes love of certain things can actually detract from a person's love of the Ribono Shel Olam. That exactly is what is what Sfas Emes writes Yaakov was afraid of. Happens to be, just to end with maybe a slightly different idea, Rav Lichtenstein, in a very important sicha he gave about parenting, writes that parents spending time with children, it's one of the greatest pleasures in the world that God lets a parent have. It's not always about channeling it towards Ribono Shel Olam the way the Maharal says, nor is it something to run away from at all in the way that Sfas Emes described. It's something which Hashem allows us to have, and it is one of the greatest pleasures sometimes, the ability just to spend time with children. Rav Lichtenstein writes that someone told him in his own name, and he didn't remember saying it, but he said it's something which he definitely could have said, that a good father is the kind of father that can both, like, doesn't mean literally these things, play ball with his kid and learn with his kid. There's something very, very nice about that. But, says the Lichtenstein, the only reason why you play ball is not in order so that then you can then learn with him. There's something nice and enjoyable about being able to spend time with family. That's something which is very, very healthy, and something which is very, very important for us to be able to embrace. Yaakov, Yosef. For many, it has nothing to do with Kriyat Shema. For many, it could even be that Yaakov was the one who's sitting there and crying. Within the Maharal, different perspectives we saw on a way of channeling Ahava, channeling moments of inspiration and moments that are positive. And thank you very much. Have a wonderful night.